Today we want to talk about the overly bonded with mother wound. And you know that most men enter life with a strong sense of themselves and emotional stability. They've got a strong character, they got clear direction. Most men are in life that way. They are standing on their own two legs, the two legs of their own. Those two strong pillars of support for their masculinity. And one is an involved dad, and the other is a nurturing mom. And the fact that's how nature meant it to be. That's how every boy was meant to have their legs, so to speak, for their manhood. The problem is, and that's what we've been talking about as we've been working through these few weeks here, is that oftentimes these pillars of support for masculinity have cracks in them. And those cracks weaken, and as a result, as we're growing up, there's critical moments in our life, and those pillars will give way, and strength is replaced by instability, and health is replaced by hurt. And for us growing up as little boys and finally stepping out into the full sunshine of manhood, oftentimes what we find is not legs to stand on, but amputations. And those amputations make life as a man difficult. Hard. It's a struggle. So let's look today in this quest for authentic manhood. Let's look at this. We looked at last time the pillar of manhood that is called dad. Let's look at this second one. It's called mom. And mom's very, very important influence in a man's life. And but right from the start, I want to say something. I'm not picking on your mom. That is like very dangerous. You remember on any playground, somebody says your mom. And while there can be trouble. So I don't want to fight, but we need to look at the influence of a mom on a man's life, how sometimes unknowingly that influence, which meant for good, can end up as a wound in the man's life. Doctors Henry Cloud and John Townsend write this in the book, The Mom Factor. Other than dad, no one has influenced more the person you are today than your mother. The way she has handled your needs as a child has shaped your worldview, your relationships, your marriage, your career, your self-image, your life. What we learn in our relationship with our mother deeply affects every area of our adult life now. And we know that to be true. Mom goes deep into our male psyche. A lot of times they have recorded airline pilots right as they're going into a crash. And you know what's on those little black boxes? They've heard them say just before they hit the ground, the last words were mom, a cry out to mom. And there's something in us. There's something in us to be that way. And sometimes there's an influence that mother has in our life that leaves a wound. Listen to this example from someone named Kevin. Kevin loved his wife. He adored her, but he was not strong enough in his own right to say no to her. The chief area that he experienced this was in his own need for time with a hobby or with friends. When he wanted space in which to pursue a hobby or to be with friends, she wanted him home. He could not stand up for his own separateness. He would comply, then he'd resent her. Then his feelings of love for her would begin to disappear. This pattern continued until finally his resentment built up to the point that he actually left her. He complained that he felt smothered and controlled. What he could not see was that this was his own fault. Kevin had never established boundaries with his own mom. A strong-willed woman, she was content to be in control of him, and he had never left her. So instead of leaving mom and cleaving to his wife, he turned his wife into mom, and he left her instead. And this is one of the most common divorce scenarios that occurs in men's lives. Men see the controlling woman as the problem, but they fail to deal with their own flimsy boundaries. If they had established good boundaries with their mothers, they would not fear being controlled by their wives or their girlfriends. Stop controlling me would turn into, no, I don't want to. Men often see their wives and girls as the controlling mothers that they're not strong enough to deal with, and so they leave. So you see that story because you need to recognize quickly that much of what Kevin was dealing with in his marriage was simply unfinished business. He's still walking around with mom's apron strings. He didn't know it. He never analyzed it. He never did what he talked about several or we talked about several weeks ago, and look at why I am the way I am. Instead, he deals ignorantly in the now, fighting phantoms that he can't see and thinking this person is the problem. And so that's called the mom factor, and it's prevalent in a lot of guys' lives. So a healthy relationship begins with two significant breaks. The first is from physical bondedness. And most of you know, when a newborn baby who's been part of the mother's body for 9 months, everyone has that, suddenly there comes a moment when you have to be separated from her. But to be separate from her requires this unnatural break, one that she can't necessarily do for herself, and at birth there has to be this cutting of the umbilical cord. And did you know that for moms that moment is deeply significant? Because in that cut, the comfortable relationship that mom had with her child that she had grown accustomed to suddenly, radically changes, and she can no longer relate to the child the way she once did. The relationship has literally been cut off. A change has occurred. And for some women, that change is so difficult emotionally that she suffers from what is called postpartum blues. Sometimes it's called postpartum depression because it's so difficult to deal with. Literally, it's after the parting blues because the relationship has changed. Now, most every woman eventually gets over this transition from oneness to separateness. But there's a second separation that a lot of moms don't make, and they never get over, and they have difficulty handling. And it's a separation that is far more important than cutting this physical umbilical cord. It occurs when a son is seeking to go from being a mama's boy to being a man in his own right. In that moment, another kind of cut is desperately needed. That cut is a cut from emotional bondedness. And it's extremely important for mom to willingly give up or lose her emotional hold over your life and my life. And it's a traumatic thing that exceeds that physical separateness. So you see that, and sometimes the mom isn't willing to do it. Sometimes the son isn't willing to do it. And so as we think about this and the different ways of bonding, some of these are deeply entrenched. Some of them are just lightly connected, but because there's no clear separation, a lot of guys in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and even 60s still have this connection to both worlds. And that's why it's difficult for those men to fully separately identify into the world of men and to express manhood at a deeply emotional level because they still have ties back to mom. Here's how Dr. Cloud and Dr. Townsend say it. To understand what's going on with men in the relational world, we must first look at some developmental patterns in their childhood. In the beginning, the young male is connected to mom. If things go well with the attaching mom, he learns to feel comfortable with his dependency on her. Bonding, needing, and connecting are comfortable, and he enjoys being close. He's one with mom. But then he begins to separate from her in the second and third year of life and moves out of oneness into a separate identity. It's important that he not only becomes a separate person, but that he becomes secure in his gender identity. Later, as he moves away from mom and towards dad for identification with male identity, he accomplishes two things. One, he becomes a separate person, attaching to his father and gaining more autonomy from the oneness with mom. And two, in his attachment to his father and identification with him as a male, he gains gender identity. From this strong base, he becomes someone who is comfortable with connection and dependence on someone, but separate enough to be autonomous, an individual away from his object of dependency. He also becomes secure in his male identity. In short, he can love mom and be independent from her at the same time. And then later, he finds a woman to whom he can have a significant attachment, and he marries. And with all of this secure identity, he is strong and separate with his new love when it comes to boundaries and limits, and he stays free of her control, and yet he's comfortable with both his and her imperfections, and now sees her as a person he can relate intimately with. And in this way, he's come full circle. He has successfully returned to the woman, but as an individual in his own right. So for real health, a man goes that way. So if we're going to fill that in, for oneness with mom, literally to a healthy physical separation, to a healthy emotional separation, to finally a healthy oneness with a woman relationally called his wife. And you see that in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, it says, "For this cause," that speaking of marriage, of ultimately moving into an intimate relationship with a woman, "for this cause a man shall leave." And by the way, the word in Hebrew for leave is to cut. It's speaking of this cutting, just like cutting an umbilical cord. "Shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave in a healthy way to his wife, and they are able to become one flesh." The reason they're able to become one flesh is because his ties are not back to his family. And in particular, he's still not connected with his mom. That's how he can relate successfully to his wife. Now, that's the way it should be. But often it's not, because often mom, for one reason or another, refuses to let go, and that creates what is we would call the mother wound. So let me give you a definition for the mother wound. It's an unhealthy emotional relationship with mother that causes a son to either be threatened by the influence of women later on in his life, or to over-identify and become submissive to that influence. So that's pretty important. There's characteristics about that wound. First of all, this wound is not blatant, it's subtle. It's kind of like the difference between the father wound being a gash and the mom wound being a paper cut, but it still hurts. Secondly, the mother wound is not one of abuse. It's a wound disguised as love and caring. That's part of the reason the wound is so hard to deal with. It looks like nurturing and caring and loving. It's like the Trojan horse, if you can remember that story from the Iliad, where the Greeks trying to conquer the city of Troy, and they couldn't get in because the walls were so high. So what they did is they built this giant wooden horse, and they gave it to the Trojans as a gift. At least the Trojans thought it was a gift. Inside were enemy soldiers. They set the horse outside the gates, and the Trojans opened the gates and brought the horse in, thinking, well, look at this. Then while they were sleeping at night, the top of the horse opened, the Greek soldiers got out, and they conquered the city. And that's the way the mother wound works. You invite it in because it comes in as a gift, but once inside, it opens up and things hurt that weren't intended to hurt. And that's how it impacts a man's life. Thirdly, it's not a wound of inattention, like it is with the absent father wound. It's a wound of over-attention. It's over-involvement. It's over-identification with mom. It's over-concern, which keeps the relationship between a son and a mother in overtime, fused and connected in inappropriate ways. It's a wound that looks like love, and over a period of time, it feels like control. It felt like love. It presented as love, but it demanded control. That's what happens in a lot of guys' lives because they love their mom. We all love our mom, but oftentimes that love can turn sour, and we have to be careful about that. So we just need to ask this question, how does this wound occur? Well, it first occurs often. It begins with an absent or distant father. Doesn't mean the dad's not in the home. He may be in the home. He's just not involved in the home. Or so mom tends to move in and fill that void in some ways. There are kids who are going to be going to school, and what happens is dad's making the money, mom's filling the void because dad's absent. And so in the last 50-100 years, our modern society has given our young men over to a world of women. And they grow up in homes where mom is the primary presence because dad's not there. They go to schools where the school teachers are primarily women. They go to churches where they're their Sunday school teachers. They have, it's just how it is. And men these days have to figure out masculinity in absentia, without men. So these last few years, there's been a phenomenon in the last 20 years where more and more sons are finishing college and then coming back home to live with mom and dad. And dad's thinking they need to get out on their own, but mom's welcoming back. Come on, live with us. I'll wash your clothes. I'll feed you. I'll take care of you. And I want to continue to be your mom because there's no cut. There's no break. It's just unhealthy. Well, we see this. There's a sociologist named Miriam Levy, and they've written about the overabundance of female mentors. And here's a quote: lack of interaction with male mentors. Here's what he says: is a historical peculiarity unlike anything we've ever seen. And the product they're reaping is what he calls the feminized man. And so that word, the feminized man, what is that? Well, don't confuse it, guys, with the effeminate man, the man who has feminine physical characteristics or mannerisms. That's not what we're talking about. The feminized man can be, he could be a tough guy. He could be a mean guy on the outside, but he's feminized. A feminized man is a man who has learned to act or think in ways that are more appropriate for women. He's frequently passive. He waits. He doesn't initiate. He doesn't lead. He follows. He doesn't take risks. He lets somebody else assert themselves in the moment. But he's physically strong and tough looking. But he defers with a lot of young men in this generation. He defers to women. They let the women be the warriors, the risk takers, the leaders. The roles are reversed, and our culture is pumping out this dogma that reverses the role while it claims to be making them equal. A second cause is inflicted by one of four types of moms, and this can happen when dad is in the home and involved in the home, but it can still be inflicted by one of the four types of moms. The most common type is what we would call the ignorant mom. She can be brilliant, but she's ignorant in the sense that she doesn't understand the power she has over a son's life. She's still talking to her son like a boy. He's 18 years old, and she's still going to wake him up for school. And you know what sons are like that? She's still covering for him. She's still driving him to doctor's appointments or making an appointment for his haircut or writing his checks. She's so over-involved with love that she's suffocating his masculinity. That's not good. The second type are what we call needy or hurting moms. These women who, for one reason or another, have lost their relationship with their own husbands, so their son is basically grafted in as the next best male companion. In a sense, they marry their sons. Their sons become an unsuspecting surrogate husband to fill in some way for her unmet needs. As the son seeks to move into adulthood, losing her sons means she's going to become lonely and alone, and so she tries to hold on. Third, there's this unwilling to release mom. These are the strong and strong-willed dominant types of mom who want and need control. They're the ones who say to their sons when they're 28, John, you and Mary are coming to our house for Christmas, aren't you? And he has no power. He's powerless to say, no, we need to stay home for Christmas this year with our kids. And then finally, there's the fill-in-the-gap moms. That's where dad is absent all the time, so mom, of course, fills the gap. But in doing so, she bonds too deeply to her son. So as we look at the outline, here are the two responses this wound creates later in an adult life. Here's the first one. Men become dominant and controlling towards women if they have had an overly involved mom at home. They see women as a possible threat to their independence and sense of masculinity. They come to fear intimacy because they get too close to a woman, that woman might control them. They always keep this kind of barrier up, or what they do instead is they try to find the woman they can control. They seek to marry women they can be safe with, but they primarily rule over them. They become tyrants in their house. Anytime that soft woman tries to express her rights or her needs, he sees it as you're trying to take control of me. So he becomes even harder and more dominant over her life. So you can see that. And then a greater number of men have a second response in adulthood. They become passive and submissive towards women. Now, as an adult with women, his tendency as he gets close to a woman is to become passive and to lean on her too much, letting her lead too much, looking for her to take care of him too much, because that's the way mom did. In other words, he pulled out that giant umbilical cord that he had with mom, and when he got to adulthood, he pulled it out. Then he began to look for some other woman he could plug the umbilical cord into so he could suck all those things he needed for himself, things like care and concern, things taking care of my feelings and leading me and providing for me out of her. So he tends to go on out and marry a stronger woman. He becomes a soft male. What he wants is a woman. In a woman is a mother wife. So at the beginning, when he finds her and he marries her, she thinks she's marrying a sensitive man, the alpha male. But in time, she learns to resent him because he won't lead and he won't protect and he won't take risks and he won't step forward, and she gets tired of it. He's passive. The healthy path with mom should have been a physical and emotional oneness with mom in the early years, then a healthy and complete separation in the middle years, then finally a healthy relational oneness with the woman he marries in the final years. That's the way it should be. Unfortunately, for a number of men, it's not that way. So as you think about this, these are questions that there's some questions I want to ask you. First of all, what most impacted you in this session? And would you explain that? And then secondly, would you describe your relationship with your mom growing up? How is it or was it as an adult? And then thirdly, would you say you have effectively made the break with mom? Does your mom presently exert an unhealthy influence in your life or your marriage? What would your wife say to that question? And that lastly, question number four, can you see a connection between the way you relate to your mom and how you relate to other women in your life? In how you relate to your wife, if you have one? So this is a tough, tough session today, the overly bonded with mother wound, but so, so important.